What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Sacred Heart Pioneers, Coach Tina with me back on the Boss Man Show. Coach, to see you, man. How life been?
Life has been great. It's great to be back with you. And, you know, we're excited for another year. You know, it's always a blessing when you can, when you have another year to coach. You know, this is, there's a timer on all of us. And we're thankful that ours is continue to tick.
Now, Coach, last time we talked, man, you went from the NEC over to the MAC now. So how has it been recruiting for MAC talent, per se, guys that you view as MAC players versus being in NEC?
That's a good question. So, you know, we've definitely seen a difference in recruitment. The players that we can get involved with now are definitely a level higher. Now, with that said, they need to be because the league is better. But certainly, you know, once we got into the league, I do think certain players, especially in the Northeast, that would not have considered us are now strongly considering us. I think we're a more viable option for more players. So, you know, so the league was super important. It's a really basketball rich tradition. There's a lot of rich tradition in basketball here. Some really, you know, good programs and coaches through the years. So we're trying to, you know, right now, you know, our first year in the league, we're trying to sell like, hey, come here and play against these teams that have had a lot of tradition. And we're hoping that that pivots to like, hey, come play for us. Cause we're the team that is carrying, you know, the flag for the league. So we're not quite there yet, but we're hopefully this year, you know, last year was a step in the right direction. And this year, hopefully, you know, we can really establish ourselves as one of the teams to beat. So that's the plan. That's where we're kind of predicted in the preseason. And, you know, the other thing that came with us going into the MAC was I think our commitment level as an institution, certainly as an athletic department, but even as an institution has greatly increased. And I think when we were making that decision to go to the MAC, you know, and we have great leadership here. My only message was if we do this, we need to know what we're getting ourselves into and what it's going to take to be competitive in this league. It's every league that you climb, you know, the resources and the commitment has to match that league. If you want to be good, you have to at least match what other teams are doing, if not surpass it. I mean, if you look at the best programs, you know, in basketball or even football, you know, they don't spend around the same as the other schools. They commit more. I mean, Ohio State football is great because there's great tradition, but their commitment level is at a higher level. Alabama's commitment level in football is at a higher level. Well, basketball, the same thing. There's a reason that Kansas and North Carolina and Duke and UConn are great for a sustained period of time. They have great tradition, but they have the infrastructure and the resources and commitment dedicated to being good. And then when you get the right coach in place, like those programs have, they prosper. So we have really, with our move to the MAC, our commitment level has matched that. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've been able to make this transition fairly seamlessly. Now, listen, you know, this is a very humbling business. So, you know, right now people are saying a lot of good things about us. And, you know, some people are picking us to win the league, but most everybody has us in the top three. And so nothing's an automatic, and you can't take anything for granted, you know, but we have the things in place right now. So now we have to, perform. We have to coach them well. Our players have to play well. But we do think we have the commitment, the resources, and the talent to be a factor. But you have to get a little lucky too, you know. I mean, heck, you know, look at Penn State football a month ago. They were everybody's darling to win the national championship. And now they have a new coach, and they have no chance of getting into the playoff, and their talent is great. You know, they lost a super close game that they could have won in overtime. They catch a bad break, an injury here or there, and before you know it, it's the wheels have come off. And Penn State football is at the highest level of football in terms of tradition and commitment. So with that said, it's got to be a daily thing. You know, are we evaluating our program, our team daily, and are we getting better? Now, there's some luck involved. You can't get hurt. You need your best players to play. And if you looked at the best teams in our league last year, they had the best players, but they also had the best players play the most games. Mm-hmm. You know, we were a little snake bitten in that I think we had starters a combined 35 games last year for us. Now, I feel good about that. We were still in the hunt going into the last couple of weekends, but you know, we're going to need to reverse that and catch a break there. But we feel like we're in a good place. We got good players. We have a great school. I have a great coaching staff. And I think, you know, when you have those things in place, good things have a chance to happen.
And Coach Latino, what I saw about your roster, you have a lot of young guys, but I feel like with this portal world, you're able to get a lot of high school guys and young guys you're going to usually get because most of these power fives are worrying about the portal and guys who played before. It's also fun for having freshmen on your roster because they know your language only know your way of doing things. You know, try to break them of old habits and old ways, per se.
No question. I mean, you know, obviously roster construction is really, really evolved in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, I think winning with just freshmen and sophomores is probably not, it's probably very difficult to do, but also winning with just transfers is probably not the easiest thing in the world to do. If you bring in 8 or 10 new players and they're all from different places, you know, that could be problematic too. So I think there is a balance there. I do think bringing in, you know, the one thing with the advent of the transfer portal is I do think we can get involved with better freshmen than we ever have. So, you know, our philosophy is if you can get involved with a freshman that you think can be an impact guy, you know, you don't shy away from that. You know, it's well, but the biggest difference now more than ever is it's not whether you want guys anymore. It's what are you willing to spend for a certain guy? You know, there's a lot of players I'd love to have, but at what price? You know, we're managing, you know, a cap, so to speak. You know, every school has their own cap, obviously 20 million being the highest. But no basketball program is spending 20 million because that's between football, basketball, and whoever else schools want to donate resources to. But we have our cap and we're trying to manage it and get the most bang for our buck and bring in the best team. So it is a different animal than ever before. You know, the old days, if you really want a kid, you go all out, you put all your time and energy into it. Now you also have to figure out how much of our rev share can we put into this player and still have enough money to retain some of our best players? Because I do think at this level, but probably even the high major level, if you can retain some of your elite players, I do think that's the best formula. And one of the reasons why people are kind of bullish on our team this year is we were able to keep a junior who's probably who was a preseason first team all league guy in Anquan Hill. We were able to keep an all rookie freshman point guard in Makai Conner, who's going to be a sophomore. We were able to keep a scoring guard in Nile Ralph Byer. So those three guys are really the core. We were able to keep Griffin Baruch, shooter off the bench for us last year, and some other complementary pieces. We added that with a couple of transfers, and on paper, at least, it looks like we have a chance to be good. So there's no one formula. You have to do the best you can. There's the realities on the ground. Like, you could say, hey, I want to keep this guy and that guy, but some guys play so well that their numbers are so high in terms of what they're being offered that you can't compete with that. But you try your best, and you try to manage your money the best you can, and you try to bring in as much money as you can too. That's the other thing is what are you willing to spend? It's, you know, college basketball is a lot more, at least at our levels, it's a lot more like the baseball model than it is football or the NFL or NBA, because there are some teams in every league, including ours, that are like the Yankees and the Dodgers. And, you know, that just, they can absorb bad contracts, you know. And then there's other people like the Mariners and the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, and the Oakland Athletics that, you know, have to kind of be a little more money ball to be good. Now, the good news is there are teams in baseball that do have success that have smaller payrolls, not as often as you like. So that's, you have to realize the landscape and where are you in this in landscape? Are you the Yankees or the Dodgers, or are you more like the Seattle Mariners? You know, but the Seattle Mariners are playing. The Toronto Blue Jays are playing right now. You know, so, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this. You know, you still have to value the same things you've always valued, you know, relationships and toughness and, you know, connecting with your players. But getting them to come here, that process is a little different. So it's an exciting time. And, you know, no one has a formula. This is my 31st year of coaching college basketball, but it's really only my first or second year of dealing with rev share and NIL collectives and things of that nature. So, you know, we're all kind of figuring this out as we go, and the schools and the programs that manage it the best and figure it out the best are going to have the most success. So there's a lot of uncertainty, but there's a lot of opportunity too. And hopefully we can take advantage of it. I don't want to say we, you know, have it figured out, because as you know, you've been covering a lot of teams, you know, and I just used Penn State football as an example. Like, just when you think you have it figured out, you know, the basketball gods have a funny way of humbling us all. So, you know, it's a daily thing, a daily process of trying to get better and are we where we need to be? And you know, we kind of go from there. But we're in the right place. I'm at the right school. We're in a good league, and we can't wait to get going.
I was about to say, Coach Tina, I'm gonna tell you what's funny, because tomorrow night I'm hosting a fundraiser for a school down south here who has a lot of Atlanta alumni, because they only have 11 scholarships of their 13. So they're trying to fund the 12th and 13th. So I'm gonna be hosting, DJing the fundraiser. So even in this world, you have some schools who don't even have the full scholarships funded. So I'm having to step in and do a fundraiser and help them with the being a DJ and a host, try to raise money tomorrow night for them to get those 12 to 13 guys paid for.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, money is not everything, but it's a lot. And if you don't have the resources, you know, this is a difficult job. Being a college basketball coach is a difficult job, even if you have the resources. When you don't have those resources or are at a deficit to people, you know, forget about, you know, we're not trying to compare ourselves to Kentucky or UConn and, you know, local team, you know, they're local, but big time program, you know, but even in our league, we have to keep figuring out, like, where are we, you know, in relation to the rest of our league. And that's, you know, what you have to manage. And, you know, again, keep trying to push standard and keep educating our people. And, you know, again, I'm blessed. I'm at a place that's at Sacred Heart University that's thriving. You know, we are, it's the golden age. I feel very lucky to be here. Our enrollment is, you know, at a time where enrollments are declining at mid-sized private schools, we're going in the opposite direction. And we have great admissions people. And you know, if you're ever in the Northeast and you come on this campus, you'll be like, wow, you know, like we have things in place here to be good. But again, you have to make sure you're reacting to the changing landscape and doing what needs to be done. So we have, again, great leadership here. Our athletic director is someone who I admire and respect, and we have great alignment. And I think that alignment kind of permeates throughout the whole university. And that's why I think we have a chance to be good this year and going forward. So really excited about what we got going.
I hear that. I'm going to ask you about this for your young men off the court with strength training, staying in shape, being in excellent shape for you to be able to go through March. Also, getting them to learn about their sleep and rest and recovery, their prehab and rehab, because I find sometimes young men don't understand how important that nutrition, weights, running, and that shape and hydration is to being successful and staying healthy from November, hopefully through a good run in March.
Well, that all ties into exactly like how committed is your school? Like, you know, like what are they willing to spend for athletic training, for strength and conditioning? You know, we have our own designated strength and conditioning coach who travels with us every game, you know, so he's monitoring a lot of that. Our athletic trainer, you know, is with us every practice, every game, you know, like those are things that, you know, we have in place. So, you know, we're constantly trying to educate our guys. You know, we have a saying like, what are you willing to sacrifice that other people aren't? And that's throughout that. What social things are you willing to sacrifice to get more sleep? You know, I heard a podcast a few months ago that they said sleep is the best performance enhancing drug you'll ever use. So when you're in deficit of sleep, you're not going to perform as well. When you're not as hydrated, when your nutrition is lacking. Now, these are young guys, so they can absorb some of these things and maybe not be optimal, but they're not, you know, that doesn't mean just because they can be a productive player, we want them to be the best they can be, so we're the best we can be. So those are things we talk about. You know, young kids, you know, they want to do what they want to do, but we all always talk about, like, what are you willing to sacrifice that other people aren't? Are you willing to change your diet? Are you willing to change your sleep habits? You know, and then it's a constant reminder, not only from our coaching staff, but from our athletic training, you know, department, from our strength and conditioning people. Like, and, you know, are you as strong as you want to be? You know, shoot, I remember when I was playing in college, like in the 90s, in the early 90s, like lifting was kind of an optional thing. Like, you can't be weak and be a good player. You know, now you might not be, you know, strapping 500 pounds on your back and squatting, you know, like a running back in football, but you have to be able to, you know, there used to be a saying in the 80s and 90s, like, you didn't have to be strong, but you have to play strong.
Oh, yes.
Right. But I think that's changed. I think you have to play strong, but it's hard to play strong now if you're not strong. You know, the days of, you know, being a stick figure and thriving. I mean, there's only a few unicorns like that out there that can be good. You know, I know KD, when he first got in the league, wasn't super strong, but, you know, KD's also 6'11 guard who's the greatest scorer, probably one of the two or three greatest scorers in history of NBA. If your goal is to be, well, I'm going to be like KD, you're probably setting yourself up for failure. You know what I mean? Because he's one of one. You know, not many people can move like he moves at that size and shoot like he shoots at that size and his agility and things like that. So, early in his career, he was probably a little bit able to overcome not being strong in the weight room. But again, there's not many people like that. You know, now when you look at, you know, the new players coming up, I mean, these guys are built like, they're built different. They're built different. And that's why they're great. But so that's what we talk about. We talk about those things all the time and trying to get an edge on your opponent, whether it's in nutrition or strength conditioning or preparation. The mental preparation. Are you a student of the game? How much film are you watching of yourself? Are you only watching film when the coaches are watching it with you, or are you watching on your own? So those are all part of being a great player and having a great program. So, you know, and a little of that starts in recruiting. Like, you want to recruit guys that want to be great, not that are just happy with being at a certain level and making a certain amount of money. Like, how much do you want to be great? Even, at every level, even in the NBA, like, the guys that make the most money aren't always the best player, and they certainly aren't always the guys that have the longest careers. Now, again, there's a little luck involved about staying healthy, but it's who's committed. There's a reason LeBron has been a great player for 20 plus years. I mean, this guy, everything he does, is with the idea of how am I going to be the best player? I'm going to be physically, emotionally, mentally. Kobe was like that. You look at the great players, there's a reason the players that are great for long periods of time, they have the good fortune of staying healthy. That's one, but they've also, their commitment level is of the highest order. And now they were naturally super gifted, and anybody who plays in the NBA or for the, at the Division I level has to have some God-given gifts. But to sustain that, now it's going to take a lot of sacrifice and commitment. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. Most people aren't.
Coach, I'm going to give you something about commitment. Our walkthrough ended at 11:45. It's 1:35 then, guys still down there shooting on a game that after shoot around. So that's commitment.
Of course.
Right there. Yeah. That's for young people. We had shoot around in 11:45. It's 1:35 now, and guys are out there still getting up shots.
These guys,
it's the NBA guys.
Pros understand. Pros, they know, because they'll, once you get into the league, everybody's real good. Everybody's got everything. So, the young guys that last, they look at some of the veterans and say, all right, what are they doing? How did they survive? And it's, Steph Curry wasn't the greatest shooter of all time by accident. He wasn't born a great shooter. Now, I know his dad was an all-time great. I mean, this his work ethic is elite, you don't just, show up on game day and make 30-foot threes like it's nothing, So I do think, the best players recognize that and realize that and put the time in. It's, it's not, you don't just show up on game day and are great. That is, if anyone believes that's grossly inaccurate. And so we try to preach that, and you know our guys, and we want our guys to fancy themselves of want to be pros. And I say, you want to be a pro? Okay, well, here's what it's going to take. Just because you're 6'7" and you were the best athlete since the fifth grade, well, now everybody looks like you, everybody moves like you. Now what? Now what are we going to do? So that's what we're preaching. Work ethic and commitment is, it's the price of admission, talent is a given. You got to have talent, but that just gets in the door. Now, if you want to stay in the party, and sustain it, it's going to take those other things.
Now, Coach, see, I was talking about this with another coach the other day about me personally. Like, I feel like me playing football, basketball, baseball, knowing my role in each sport. In football, slot receiver, fast guy, move around. Basketball, I'd use my strength and speed because I didn't have the handle, but I could shoot the ball and defend and do all other stuff. And then baseball, I had to use my speed, to switch hit little bunts, little flares, and get on the bases and create have it that way. And getting young men who, that's a regimented per se, but knowing their role in different sports. And when you don't come to a team like yourself, be able to say, hey, this is my role in this team. And if I excel that role, I can graduate to another role if I excel. So about that, having young men in your program who are not so regimented in basketball, but also play other sports to where they can know how to have roles defined and accept those roles and be bought in that way.
Well, that deals with two things. One, you got to be coachable. You got to listen to your coach. You want to excel. What does the coach need from me? Right. And two, self-awareness. You got to be self-aware. The best NBA guys that stick around, you look at a guy, is it TJ McConnell for the Pacers?
Yes, McConnell, yes.
He knows why he's being paid. He knows why he's sticking in the NBA. And there's a self-awareness there of a player like that. Or a guy who's, hey, a guy that's, I'm a shooter. I gotta be ready to make standstill jump shots from the corner. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case, I'm a rebounder, rim runner. Like, this is why I got to defend, rebound, and rim run. So I think self-awareness and coachability are a big part of this, and having that self-awareness, all right, how am I going to get on the court? How am I going to get on the court, whether it's at this level or the NBA level? And then what's the best way? Well, the best way I'm going to get on the court is, what does the team need? and what are my strengths? So I think that's a big part of it. Now we try to do that in our program is help guys with their self-awareness. You know, we film every practice, we stat every practice and say, okay, you know, Roy Williams had a great line, you know, a guy who thinks he's a shooter. And if a guy's shooting a bad percentage from three, he used to say two things. One, he would say, son, you're either a bad shooter taking or a good shooter taking bad shots, or you're a bad shooter. Because good shooters don't shoot this percentage. And so then you have to figure out, am I not a good as good a shooter as I think? Or am I just taking bad shots? So I do think there's that little 2 second story is self-awareness. What am I good at? Why am I here? Why did I get a scholarship to Division I scholarship or get paid or all above? Same thing to me. Why did I get drafted? Or why was I a free agent pickup? What do the Atlanta Hawks, your team, what do they need from me right now? And what how can I get onto the court so I can stay on the court, help us win? And if I help us win, that helps me get another contract. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like you could put up numbers, but if you're helping your team lose, like nobody, people are paying people to help them win, not to help them lose. So I think that's part of it, you know, and some of it isn't statistics. Some of it is intangible. Some of it is, hey, you know, there was a player who played at UConn years ago, Kevin Ollie, who was, I think, stayed in the NBA for 10 or 12 years. And he kept latching on. And I know Kevin, he was head coach at UConn for a bit too. And he might be coaching in the G League now or assistant or whatever he's doing. But he lasted in the league because he was such a professional. Mm-hmm. He was a great model for the young stars. Like, hey, look at this guy. He's on time. He works. He's coachable. He's this. Now, he was a great player. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he had elite talent, but it was all those other things that made him a 10-year NBA player. And there were probably players with significantly more ability that couldn't last for more than their rookie contract, you know, because they, you know, Kevin had an incredible self-awareness of how am I going to stay in the league? What does this organization need from me? You know, and so, I mean, he's a great lesson. I mean, I think he was with the Cavaliers when LeBron was young. And I think that I want to mistake that, but I know that some veteran players would talk about Kevin Ollie, and you know, I mean, he might have been even with KD and OKC, and they watched him and they learned from him. And I mean, that's a lot of value in that for organizations, you know, whether it's Sacred Heart men's basketball, you know, whether it's our program or the Atlanta Hawks or the, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder or whatever. So I think teaching kids that, you know, and we only have kids a lot of times for 1 year, 2 years now because of the portal. But I do think I feel an obligation to be like, hey, we want to help you as much as you can in your career. Here are some of the things that are going to help you last at the next stop or as a pro, and really talk about those things and really preach self-awareness. Being delusional maybe help you feel good for a second, but anyhow, we're going to help you last. It can help you make more money. So we really try to preach that and be very honest with our players, you know, and everyone says, hey, brutally honest. I think there's a way you can do it without killing someone's confidence, but you have to preach that honesty and that self-awareness because it's going to make them better. It's going to make us better. And it's going to give them the best chance to have an extended career, either here or somewhere else.
And Coach Henry, you said something very important. That's what I do with our young guys here with the Hawks, man. I try to get them those lessons that you just laid out because I've been around. I know my dad's a coach, so I kind of know. I played myself, so I know. So I'm able to talk to these guys as a brother figure on the Skyhawks and the Dodger League team, man, those on the Hawks who are playing, and give them kind of those little nuggets to say, hey, copy this guy. Let's see what they're doing. It's how you do it. So I try to, because I want them to get down and feel this offense. I'm just like working and getting better. You want to be better every day. Be an everyday guy. And then when Quinn Snyder calls on you, then you go out there and show him what you can do and earn more minutes.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, like, you know, one of the things that I think the best pros do, you know, and I was fortunate to watch the Boston Celtics practice. I went to Brandeis University in Waltham. And in my 4 years, that was the Celtics practice facility where we practiced, is where they practiced. And I saw a lot of veterans that weren't maybe out of the rotation. And these guys would put in extra work and they were making sure they stayed in shape because, you know, an 82 game schedule, you know, in college, you can stay in shape just because you practice all the time. Once games start in the NBA, you don't practice as much. So are you staying in? Are you ready when your opportunity calls? Like, you got to be ready. You know, mm-hmm. And part of that is Is your game tight? Is your, you know, is your, are your, is your timing right? Are you putting in that extra time? Is your conditioning at the level it needs to be at? You know, we try to tell our guys, things change at a moment's notice. Guys get hurt, guys get suspended, anything can happen. You know, if you're not ready when your number's called, that might be the only chance you get, you know? But if you're ready, it could change everything. It can change the trajectory of your life. So, you know, staying, being every, you know, are you an everyday guy or are you a someday guy? You know, the everyday guys are the guys that win. I heard Nick Saban once say this too. Are you an and guy or are you a but guy? Like, you know, when a professional team calls me about a player, I can say he's super talented, but he's a little lazy, but he's not coachable. Or are you, hey, he's a great kid and he's a great player and he's tough and he's coachable. You know, you want to be everyday guys and you want to be an and guy. The and guys are the guys that have great careers, that help teams win championships, you know, and that's, we try to constantly preach that and take no days off. And if you have a bad day, make sure the next one's better, you know?
Nah, you got that right, Coach. Last one for you, Coach, man. Non-conference schedule, man. He's got some tough ones by my man, Drew Joyce up there, Villanova, man. So you're challenging your guys early, man. Talk about that, man, Coach.
Well, you know, scheduling is very strategic. You know, you want to play enough high-profile teams so it's exciting for your fans and your players, but also enough 50-50 games so you're getting ready for your league. There's the financial component now as well with rev share. So bringing in more money is a factor in that. So we probably scheduled a little tougher than I wanted to, but, you know, we think we're going to be one of the better teams in the league. I always say this for the college basketball fans watching this. At this level of basketball, getting through November and December with a little confidence and dignity is super important. You know, we have four or five games where, you know, they're called guarantee games where we're getting paid to play the game. Well, teams aren't paying us because they think we're going to go there and beat them, right? Now, you want to win some of those games, but, you know, you're going to lose a large majority of those games. So, you know, we're playing four or five of those, you know, four this year, I believe. Well, you know, we play 11 non-conference teams. That means you got to go 6-1 in the other seven if you lose all four just to be 6-5. So sometimes I think it's very key that you schedule, you know, a good schedule. There's the financial realities of it now. But really, I think at this level, and I've been, you know, this is my 13th year here, is getting to conference play with some dignity and some confidence and, you know, really having a proper perspective, you know, because at the high major level, you know, they're buying 8 or 9 games. So sometimes they can have a good record and there could be some, I think at both levels, there can be some false hope or false despair, you know, like if, you know, if we're sitting at 5-6, well, that means we still went 5-2 against teams our level. That's pretty good. That's 10-4. That's 15-6. That's 20-8. It's a pretty good year, right? But you're under 500, so everyone's like, what's wrong? You guys were supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. Well, we went to Villanova. We went to Duquesne. You know, we went to Towson, who's a Colonial Conference favorite. We went to Penn State. I mean, those are hard games, you know, and you want to win some of those. But, you know, so I think that perspective, I think the biggest key, and it's, and if you talk to any successful person, is you really – you can't focus on those wins and losses early. Now, ultimately, you're going to be judged by your wins and losses, but are we playing how we want to play? Are we playing the right way? Are we playing in a fashion that we think can be successful in our league? I think that's got to be the focus. Now, if you're piling up losses, which is very possible with our schedule, now you have to have a little bit of psychology. Are we keeping our guys confident? Are we still making sure that they understand what it's going to take to win the MAC conference? Because Villanova and Penn State would win the MAC conference. You know, we're not supposed to, we weren't built to be as good as Villanova or as good as Penn State, but they are great tests because we want to play Villanova or Penn State at some point in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So it's good to get a little feel for that, a little taste of like, all right, guys, you want to win the league and you're lucky enough to get the NCAA tournament. Well, that's what it's going to look like when you get there. So, but you got to get there, you know? So I think that's the whole part, you know, the whole philosophy behind the schedule. There's a lot of moving parts. Money is as big a part as ever, but also creating some excitement. And, you know, because here's the thing, whatever level you're at, every player on your team either thinks they're a higher level or wants to be a higher level. Well, now you get a chance. You know, Villanova is one of the, you know, great programs in the country. You, if you could be good against them, then maybe you are a higher level. But if they're kicking your butt, then maybe you know you got a little more work to do.
No doubt, Coach, to be back, because at Tennessee State, I remember it was 4-11, 3-12, and 5-10 in OVC play. So trust me, we had that top locker room about this is about helping pay bills, and it's about we're going to challenge ourselves. And my main thing is winning on three or four days in Nashville, the OVC tournament. Don't worry about getting destroyed by Tennessee and other people. So I remember those talks the coach I had with us.
There's no question, you know. So, you know, now again, you want to win as many games as you can because you want to have a successful season, because the reality is we're not going to get an at-large bid. We have to win those three or four games in March. But you also want to, you know, talk about the journey too. Like, you know, we tell our guys all the time, obviously going to the NCAA tournament is our goal. But we're not going to know that goal until after the championship game is over. So, like, are we making sure – we're getting the most out of this journey that we can? Are we growing the most we can as people? Because they are still young people. Are you, it's there's a little bit of a dance to this thing. You know, when you dance, you're not just trying to get to the end of the dance, right? You want to enjoy the dance or a song. The best songs aren't the ones that end quickly. They're the ones that, you know, you're enjoying the whole thing. So there's a little bit of that too. So you want to give them perspective, like, sometimes, and we have a veteran team, so we have to be careful of this. If we're just so singly focused on the end of the year, well, the end of the year is coming. It's going to be here. It's going to happen. Let's make sure we're doing all the things we do so that we're ready for that end of the year and that we're enjoying the dance. Because, again, what is this all about here? You know, what is it? If we're not enjoying the dance, then why are we dancing?
100%.
You know, why are we doing? We could do something way easier than this, you know? So that's what we're trying to preach. You know, I mean, I'm speaking in a lot of generalities.
Doing a great job, Coach. Hey, people need to hear this. It's great.
Yeah, you know, but I'm excited. You know, I'm so blessed. I'm at a great place with great people. And, you know, this is my 21st year at Sacred Heart University. And you know, for one person to be at one school that long in this day and age, is I think it's a testament to what a great place I'm at. And that's something that I will never take for granted, that I will tell everybody who will listen, I'm at a great place. And I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful for it. And I hope that I can give them a championship that this wonderful place deserves.
Coach, I won't make this 2 years again, no more, because that's on me.
Yeah. It won't be 2 years, Coach. Well, here's the hope, JR, that come March, and you're saying, all right, let's talk to some teams that are in the NCAA tournament. So let's hope it's about 5 months, and then we're meeting again about our first round matchup. That would make me very, very happy.
Coach, I promise you, it won't be 2 years again. I promise you, Coach. That's on me. It won't happen again, Coach.
I appreciate you very much. Great catching up.
Thanks, Coach. I'll see you soon, brother. We hope to talk in March again, man.
Absolutely. Take care.
Have a great one.
You too.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku. As well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your Radio.
Listen to the Boss Man Show with your host, JR. Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.